And we are back. Couch Company Podcast. I'm John. With me, as always, Tyler.
Hey, I'm still here.
We're still here. Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Still recording. Have a lovely guest again. What killed him, we ask sometimes. It's Jeffrey.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, you know, I'm here. I never left, but I did leave, and I came back.
You did.
What are we telling the peeps?
I think we're telling them whatever they want to hear.
Okay.
Which is...
New episode?
This is it's probably Wednesday.
It's Wednesday.
Happy hump day.
Double upload week. Very special. Yeah. But there's a lot going on in the gaming world, so we had to do it.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We're here for the people.
Split it up. I don't know how we're going to do this. This might be categorized as a bonus episode.
Sure.
So this is going to be episode like 122 part 2.
Yeah.
Side B, side B action.
I like that. Vinyl.
Yeah.
Vinyls are great, by the way. Might be the best way to listen to music.
I'm starting to get into Jeff's kind of line of thinking, because you're a big record guy.
Yeah. Big record guy.
So you agree with that sentiment?
I do, 100%.
Yeah. I think there's something you lose, definitely, when it's digital. Even, like, we have great techniques these days, but...
Yeah.
Vinyls, it's hard to explain.
Well, that's the... I'm not an audiophile. I like to pretend that
You're not bad, man.
Some headphones.
But get more into the tech than me.
It's kind of the same thing with vinyl, where like, so I have this DAC here. Technically, this is a DAC amp, so you can plug your headphones in and listen to it. But you can get those amps with like the little light bulbs on them.
Right.
And like, that's for distortion. Like, it's not like to make it sound better. It's just like, it changes the sound, but similar how you get all like little pops and things like that in like a record player. A little texture.
I think for me, I've been, you know, preaching this to people for a long time. It's all about the experience, and I'm real big on experiences. But if you are at your computer and have the intent on saying, I'm going to listen to this IP or EP, this album, and you sit through it track by track, how the artist intended it to be, you're going to get an experience. And that in itself, I think, is really special. However, for me, the most intimate way of connecting with a musical artist has been to be in my living room with my... I do have a pretty expensive record player, some not too expensive speakers, but very highly rated speakers, and putting on that record, listening to it with the intention of following the lyrics, following song by song, trying to... This sounds so preachy or like hipster, but feel something, like understand that record a little bit more. And the records that I've listened to that way, I've gotten so much out of them, and they're so special. And I'm looking at building. I'm never going to buy a house. I'm going to build. And one of the important things in my house will be to have that corner or that living area where it's intended for music listening. I think it's very important. I hope that we don't lose it. Even the younger folks, like I have some younger cousins who are very much into vinyl. My youngest cousin actually asked for the 444 Jay-Z album on vinyl for Christmas. I was like, sweet, like you go, man.
Yeah. I have some contractors if you need them.
Okay.
They're finishing up. And then...
You said they were great too.
Yeah. Dude, talk about... Like, I'm a perfectionist when it comes to certain things.
Yeah.
So when you meet other people that like within your field, right? So like if you're a contractor and you're being like super perfect on whatever, it's like it shows. Like it's such a, like even just walking on our stairs, the stairs that they built versus the stairs that were just still in that, like it's night and day. Like it's laughable how and like they've done so. I could talk a lot about how good of work they did, but I'll have to do something where maybe we do like a video walkthrough. I think I can publish that on Spotify, or might just like take a little.
That's pretty cool.
Little walkthrough.
You got the one you have to get on the podcast, right? For like the top 10 spaceships and stuff. Like he had some pretty
Lucky.
Good categories. Pirates.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Lucky's great. Yep.
Lucky, man.
Shout out to Lucky.
I want him on. I want to talk to him.
It's going to be, that's the thing is like, we got to figure out how to, right now it's two chairs, two microphone stands and things like
yeah.
that. So if we have to evolve it, then maybe we try to figure out, like, okay, like, we'll do like a 4-person thing. That's our capacity.
We'll figure
right
it
now.
Out though.
Yeah,
that'll be good. I'm super excited for that studio. It's gonna be sick.
The Stylish Mahal comes to Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not be said. Yeah.
That's sick. All right. So we are at a special, one of my favorite times of the year, you know, Game Awards. We talked about, hopefully you listened to our previous episode. We go over the awards themselves. If you haven't, you know, check that out after this. I thought it was a fun conversation. And now we're going to talk about the second half of the Game Awards, which are the announcements. And I know we were having a little discussion about this previously, but I love the format. I love seeing the awards, getting the recognition, but also getting hyped for new games, seeing trailers and announcements. I think it's such a unique take on something like the Oscars, where it's just like, you know, awards.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people, this is their favorite part. They tune in just for the announcements. And we talked about this too in the last episode. There was definitely a deliberate shift to cram more announcements into this year's. And Jeff was speaking to it as well. I mean, there were so many that outlets couldn't even put them all on their review list. The sheer number of them. So it was interesting. But I don't know where you wanted to start the discussion.
Did you do yours chronologically, Jeff?
I did mine chronologically until I missed some. So I have them chronologically except for one, two.
So
I have four that aren't.
I would say you should lead on, and then if like you miss something or if something like, because you said you left a few off that you just didn't.
There were like like a driving one that it was like the Fortnite driving game or something like that. Like
I left off the Lego Fortnite.
And there were some other ones like the Genshin stuff that I left off the list here. I try to keep it to either new announcements or things that I think we would specifically care about. I did leave off the music one that I know we want to hit John with. But again, there were so many announcements. I apologize if I missed something. But I do have the majority of them.
I mean, I'll follow along with you. And okay. Like if something pops up here that you didn't go by, I'll shout it out. Okay. But
I have to play that music game, though.
You have to. Yeah, it's your game.
Literally, it's the meme at this point.
Music.
So the first game that they showed, I left off my list, but I believe it was the remake of Brothers.
Yep.
I've never
of Two Sons.
I've never played Brothers. I hear it's depressing.
Ooh. Kind of. It's one of those, like, how depressing is, like, Land Before Time or Bambi or, you know, like it's like there's some sadness, but like you got to have some stakes and they're going through stuff. Like you ever play like a Plague Tale, stuff like that? Like you got to like there's some it's like a I don't say it's a dark game, but like it all revolves around like, hey, your dad died. So it's like two brothers and I assume they're going to stick with the same control scheme and whatnot. But imagine because you got to play with a controller, or at least you should. Imagine one stick is one brother, another stick is another brother. So you're kind of like moving them together, and like so, like one of them is like you're picking up the cart, and I think your dad's body's on it, or he's sick, and you're like trying to get him to town. But it's like you have to like
not depressing
two brothers, and like you have to like maneuver them so they're on the same like cart, and then you have to like move them through stuff and whatnot. Yeah. It was good. I think the interesting thing is like it. It was kind of lo-fi, like it was well made, but like lower graphics. So to see them put a fresh coat of paint on it and let somebody kind of experience it, like now's a great time, you know, to check it out, especially if you haven't played it.
Do we know which announcements are on Game Pass or not?
I would assume that one's on
Game
Pass.
That's big for me.
That was a big Xbox game when it.
I did make a note of Xbox exclusives because.
Okay.
But I did not make a note of Game Pass.
If it's Xbox exclusive, it should be going on Game Pass.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, because like I just have such a higher chance of trying something when it's on Game Pass. I mean, there's no reason not to, right?
And we talk a lot about remasters and remakes.
I'm sorry, they're saving their dad. The dad doesn't die. Oh. That's the whole point of the adventure. They embark on an adventure to save their dad.
Spoiler. Yeah, I think his body's on the cart.
Oopsies. Is this remake warranted? I I don't know. I never played the first one. I thought the first one looked fine, but is it an old game? Is
this... I never played it. So
it's older.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Okay. I think it was 360 era, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, really? That is older.
Yeah, let me double check.
Wow. I didn't realize it was... So this was like in the arcade or something? Xbox Arcade?
Oh, I thought you were referring to...
No, not an actual arcade.
The mall arcade.
No. Like the Xbox Arcade, because it's like an indie game, right?
It came out a decade ago. It came out in 2013.
Oh, so definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
It wasn't an Xbox, so it was on everything, but yeah.
What a good console.
Yep.
The best console of all time.
I wouldn't debate that.
All right. I thought...
I think if you're really trying to get down to brass tacks, I think you're looking at SNES, Xbox 360, or...
PS2.
Probably PlayStation
4. We had...
I don't think PS2.
Xbox 360, Super Nintendo, number two. And then
two or three, yeah. DS is on
DS.
There.
Oh, DS. That's a good pick.
Because we talked about, like, there was just this magical time where everyone had their DS. You'd be on the bus playing Mario Kart. Like, It was amazing.
I think my only argument as to why PS2 doesn't belong there is just because there wasn't any competition and it could play DVDs. Like, that was the thing.
It's the library. A lot of people go to the library. Just how many games came out for it.
Yeah. Sorry. Okay.
That was so radical. All right.
The next trailer that I have... Are we good with Brothers?
I'm excited for Brothers. I would like to play it again.
Okay.
Especially if it's on Game Pass, I'll give it a shot. Yeah. You know me, the Brothers and families.
I think you
that's a John game.
Yeah,
it's a John game.
You would like it.
For the audience, so we should say, we were watching the Game Awards together, and we were kind of making fun of, poking fun at each other, like, oh, this is a Jeff game, like anything that's...
Souls-like
or anime. And then if it's an indie game, it's like, oh, Tyler game. If it has any music at all, it's a John game, apparently.
Music or family is a John game.
Yeah.
God, I love it.
The next game I have on our list is Exodus.
Without
Matthew McConaughey, I'm not sure.
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey comes out,
and
he's like, all right.
I'm not allowed to say all right.
I'm in this game. Oh, man, he made it. That might be one of the... We should make a top five worst jokes of the Game Award.
Yeah.
He's like, instead of all right, I'll say pew, pew, pew.
I don't get that. Why?
Nobody laughed. I think it's just like, oh, video games.
Yeah, sure.
It was bad. It didn't land. Nobody laughed. I was like, yikes.
Yeah.
I die inside when I see stuff like that because he knows it flopped.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see him like, ugh.
I don't need you guys.
I really do wonder if him and like Anthony Mackie and some of these other actors and stars that come on the Game Awards are trying to capture like that Keanu moment when he's like, no, you're awesome. And everyone went nuts. Like,
yep. The reason why that hit was because it wasn't on the teleprompter.
Right.
Like that was a
someone
pure
shouted
organic,
out, you're breathtaking.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's like,
you're breathtaking. But
Keanu's a national treasure. Yeah. So
for me, actually, I was pretty into this game. It looks to me like a very grounded Destiny. Probably not the same type of, well, maybe the same type of game systems. I don't know if it's going to be multiplayer and kind of have that looter shooter element, but I thought it looked interesting at minimum.
I thought it was okay until, and this is what happened with Dune as well, which I shouldn't do this, but like until they said it's Mass Effect, I'm like, fuck you, it's not Mass Effect. And that's what Dune did. Dune was like the next Lord of the Rings.
The next Star Wars. They put Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
Oh, like, this is going to be the greatest movie franchise ever? It's like, all right, you're nuts. And now, I heard Dune's very good. Maybe this will be very good. I shouldn't judge it by that. But that is ludicrous marketing, dude.
You don't say that. We say that.
Exactly.
The people that play your game should be saying that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh. So, but it was interesting. I guess they showed a tiny bit of like kind of gameplay. You know how they do like
They showed like the helmets, a couple of people shooting things.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You think it'll be good?
I can't even say this screams flopped to me.
I don't know why it just screams flopped.
I was in until they started showing actually like the gameplay of like combat, and then I'm like, this looks not as... It doesn't look as good as Destiny, I think is the thing.
Okay.
So it's like I was with the art style, the exaggerated characters, like all the modeling. I was in all the space stuff, the weird like nebula black hole stuff. I'm there.
Right.
But then the moment it's like... And then you're shooting on just normal black obsidian stuff. And it's like, okay. I mean, like, they showed very, very little.
Right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Interesting. All right.
I have like 7 things before Exodus.
Go for it.
Can I start?
Like I said, I skip things.
Pony Island 2. Panda
Circus.
Oh,
that is one of the ones that I have on my list that I missed. I'm pumped. That's actually a star for me.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to save it then? If it's on your list, we can keep going.
Go for it.
So Pony Island 2. I never played Pony Island 1, but I played Inscription, and I did not realize that they were from the same developer. Makes perfect sense when you see what Inscription is. Did you ever play Inscription?
I didn't, but these are... I feel like I'm betraying my roots because I love games like this, and I love indies, but I've missed so many. But this looks so cool to me.
Yeah. Inscription, like, this is a bizarre, like, what type of drugs are you on while you're watching this thing? Inscription was such a weird... kind of like Alan Wake in a weird way, but it's like... Inscription's a card game. You're just playing this card game, but then you can like stand up and get off the table and then start doing puzzles around the room to try to get out of this like death trap or whatever. It was really good. So I'm excited for it.
I think this was probably one of the most surprised I was during the announcements. In a very like WTF way, like that's actually my note is just WTF, but in a great like star. Like I'm just pumped for it. Like I want to experience this game in whatever it is.
Yep. Do we care about Rise of the Golden Idol?
I can't remember that one honestly.
Neither can I.
Okay.
All right.
Then no.
Usual June. Is
that was with the girl.
Yeah, like cell shade. I thought it actually looked kind of interesting.
Looked interesting.
Like, good art style.
I don't know what the premise was. I'm kind of blanking. I remember there was like the girl.
It's the next game from Finji, the studio behind Night in the Woods and Tunic. So like, I liked Tunic, and I thought Night in the Woods was okay. So it's like, sure. Huh. Like,
right. I think this game is going to review in the eights. It's for someone, sure.
You didn't like Tunic, huh?
You know what? I loved everything it did, and I am such a bad person at solving puzzles that I ended up backtracking like 3 times in the same, and I couldn't find where to go. And that was such a special game where I didn't want to use a guide. And I just couldn't get through it because I missed something. So I love Tunic, but I wasn't able to finish it.
Did you play Death's Door?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think of games that are like giving you your Zelda hit without Breath of the Wild. You know, it's like, okay, here's about as Zelda as you can get without, it was so good. I assume you have Harmonium the Musical on there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then Windblown?
I do have Windblown.
Thrasher?
I don't have Thrasher.
All right. Thrasher is the next game from the, what's it called? Thumper. So Thumper was like a musical on rails, like kind of like rhythm type game, which was pretty cool. So this one looks like it's a little bit off rails. There's a lot going on the screen, so I don't know how well my feeble eyes and mind will pick up on it, but we'll see. Okay, and you have the other two, so we'll get to it when you get to it. That's fine.
Yeah, the next one that I have is the God of War DLC, and for me, what I'm looking at here is how much story is actually there. I appreciate that this is a free DLC. It's out now, so if you're a huge God of War fan, go get it if this is up your alley. I'm looking at this from a platinum perspective. I need to go back and play that game and platinum it because I truly love that game. I thought it was pretty special. If there's reports of a significant amount of like port of story or character development or new interactions, I will play this. But if it is just the roguelike portion that they described during the announcement, I'm probably not. It's not for me.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I think it's most likely not going to have a lot of story, but I do think they will put in some stuff, particularly at the end, I believe. They might tease something. That's kind of what I'm looking for. But I love the combat in that game, so I have no problem. And I'm kind of curious to see how the roguelike element works.
I think the thing that will get me is if you go in naked. Right, and it's just like, all right, here's Kratos, and then
you just really want to see Kratos naked,
100%.
Yeah,
and then when you're walking around, it's like, okay, you found a shield on this run, or oh, you found your blades run. Sure. Oh, this is a +3, whatever. So if you could like build up Kratos as you're going through like your given run, to me that's kind of cool. That'd be like interesting, almost like a a God of War perspective Hades-ish thing, which I think I'm for a free DLC, I'm probably overblowing what my expectations are. But I could see that, enjoying that loop. But if it's like the first God of War where you're going through that maze constantly, not going to... I'll go back to it just to play it. But like, I'm going to be bad at it, right? Like, it's going to be like, you got to get back into the swing of things. It's a very specific loop of the combat and how you handle stuff. So
I think it's really cool they put this out for free, though. That's awesome.
But that also in the back of mind is like, it probably isn't that robust if they're just putting it out for free, right? Like, maybe.
Sure, but like, it's free content.
Sure, 100%. Yeah.
Even if it's super bare bones, like, you gave this to us for nothing, and I appreciate that.
And
so
people apparently really like The Last of Us roguelite part of it.
Oh, yeah.
So, all
right.
I'm really interested. I actually, there's a sick part of me that hopes it's really bare bones so that I know, like, Santa Monica is like fully on to their next project, which we know nothing about. But that's just me.
All right.
Next, I have Kumiri. Kumiri?
Can I jump in with Dave the Diver and Dredge crossover?
Oh
yeah. Sick.
You don't.
You're sick. No. I'm fully on board. Dave the Diver, super, super awesome game. You take it away because I didn't play Dredge.
Dredge is like it's a fishing thing, but it's like a creepy, like, very depressing thing. So I'm very interested to see how Dredge goes into Dave the Diver. Like, Dredge is like, the whole point is if you fish too late at night, you literally go insane and like die. So it's like, how do they meld those two worlds together? I just think it's cool that they're collabing.
That must have been a huge announcement for you.
It was pretty big.
You've been raving about those games all year. That's really cool.
I just had to get that in there. All right.
No, I'm
sorry.
Glad you snuck it in there. I think it almost seems like they would conflict with each other. Because
100%, yeah.
Dave is so... It's a little bit cheery. There might be some not-so-cheery elements. But overall, it's a happy game. It might be... If I get Dave on Switch, I would definitely... Like, I hope they put a bundle out, right? Like a Dave plus this on Switch, I would... definitely buy that.
I mean, they put so many just quality of life stuff already, like auto farming, auto, like, it just like stuff that you don't have to like go back and do, like, you can focus on doing other stuff. It's pretty cool. One might say a very good ongoing game, but not me.
Not us.
It's no Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
So this Kamiri game, a little bit confused by it. It's by the beloved director. Who's that person that gets on stage and does the quirky like emotes, but in real life, we love her. I don't know what to make of this game. It looks to be like some type of multiplayer game. Actually, at the end of it, they show six players, which is really confusing to me, or six potentially people that you can play as. So I actually have no clue what this game is, but you're seeing a lot of Eastern Japanese, I don't think the word's kabuki masks, but I can't remember, oni masks and things like that. So, I mean, it's cool that they announced it. I just don't know.
This
what
was the girl
is.
Who has like her own thing going?
Yeah. Or yes. No.
Like she's not, she doesn't belong to a publisher or whatever.
Correct. And she got on and was like, oh, and that was like a really bad thing, but she emotes like that. And
Yeah. She was very energetic.
She's awesome.
It looked cool. I really liked the art style on this. I thought it looked really slick.
Now, she's doing this all herself?
She's not doing it all herself, but she's like, she put together the studio herself.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Which is cool. I like that. It was interesting. It gave me like Jujutsu Kaisen vibes in the fact that like they did like, they put their fingers together and then they looked through, they made a square with their fingers and they looked through it and then they could see like demons and stuff. And that reminds me, like, the girl with the glasses from Jujutsu Kaisen. She puts glasses on. She can see demons and stuff.
Sure.
So, it was interesting. I kind of, you know, Japan's creative.
I just need to see what it actually is.
Right. Same. Yeah. I like the style, though. I like the style.
Now, I don't know where I put the harmonium in there, but the next one that I have noted is Dragon Ball. I think it was just Dragon Ball Z Sparking Zero, or was it Dragon Ball Sparking Zero?
Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's going to encompass...
Dragon Ball Sparking, !Zero.
Yeah.
So this
spelled out
is kind of interesting to me because, from my perspective, they're renaming the Budokai Tenkaichi...
Yes.
to this Sparking Zero. Like, it actually says it in the trailer, like, the next iteration of Budokai Tenkaichi, which...
I think they announced it as Budokai Tenkaichi 4.
And then they switched.
And then they switched it. I agree.
I mean, I'm actually stoked for this. I loved Dragon Ball Kakarot. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I thought that was a fantastic iteration that got me so much into the Dragon Ball universe again. I'm just curious how far into Super they go. This does looks like it's placed during the Dragon Ball Super sagas. You see the Super Saiyan Blue in it, so we're definitely past Z and GT. I'm just curious how far they go, because I am a little bit caught up with the manga, and Super goes into a very interesting place that's very different from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball GT. So, yeah, I'm excited for it.
This is like my childhood. These games were, Budokai Tenkaichi 3 is like one of my favorite games growing up. And the cool thing about this, like, it's not a good like fighting game. Like, the mechanics are like super simple and stuff. It's like just the selling point on these games were the roster. It literally had like every character. Like, you could have background soldier number 3, and he was like in the game. It was crazy. It was like a very like Smash-esque everyone's here kind of thing. So I'm really hoping that they continue that and they have like 250 characters and like just have literally everyone. And it's going to be cool because, like, as Jeff mentioned, we have a whole new show now. Mm-hmm. Those characters we can put in. And then they get their special attacks and stuff. I'm excited for that. I hope it's good.
I was impressed with the art style, and granted, we didn't see a lot of it, but it looked closer to FighterZ, and it looked closer to being believable that it was like drawn with like the appropriate like black thick line and stuff like that. Because I think a lot of the 3D games like that typically either they make the outlines too thin, and then it, like the anti-aliasing starts making it look weird, and it looks fake. And this one looked pretty solid, at least for the trailer. So,
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah,
this will sell to, you know, the super hardcore Dragon Ball fans. There's a market. There's a reason they're still making these games.
It's a big nostalgia. So, which is, I don't know, changing the name is a weird move.
I thought so too.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm hopeful.
Next, I have Visions of Mana, which personally I'm very excited for. I missed Secrets of Mana on PlayStation 1. It was one that I couldn't go back to. I didn't have PlayStation 1. My first PlayStation console was PlayStation 2, and I tried to go back and play as many RPGs as I could, but I did miss Secrets of Mana. And for me, this gives very Dragon Quest art style, and this will probably be coupled for me in play Visions of Mana, probably get into a recent Dragon Quest, because apparently the modern ones are extremely good. But I'm looking, this is probably going to be like a 60 to 70 hour JRPG with an action style combat system instead of turn-based. And I would, you know, just after that, probably go into like an hour long Dragon Quest game. So I'm excited for it.
Is it Toriyama that does the art for this?
Okay. I don't know if they do it, if he's doing it for Visions of Mana, but he does do Dragon Quest.
I know he does Dragon Quest, so
it's supposed to come out next year, so you're going to have Visions of Mana right next to Final Fantasy.
Right.
Oof.
Uh-oh.
It's a lot.
What are you guys' thoughts? Are you excited, or this is kind of like, hey, it looks cool, but I'm probably not going to get
it? I don't know anything about this. I did have a PlayStation 1, but I was too, like, Spyro the Dragon. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't have, I missed the big RPGs, so I'm not familiar, but I might check it out. I mean, if it's coming out with Final Fantasy, there's a clear...
It's gameplay for me.
Yeah, like that's going to decide it.
Because I don't think, especially in this realm, I don't know how much the story would grab me initially. It's more about, like, especially when you're talking action-adventure stuff, like, I like the hack and slash, like, just run around doing that. So if there's that, if there's, like, collectible stuff, like, I could see that replacing, like, an open-world Ubisoft. Like, instead of playing Assassin's Creed, I'll play this instead or something. And then if the... Right. Story's good, it's good, you know, it is what it is, but so we'll see.
Cool.
I'm gonna sneak in Harmonium right now because I don't remember where Harmonium took place, but this is the girl goes into a book and then has a beautiful voice, sounds like Elsa. We were all captured by her. serenade, whatever. I don't know what the word is for her song, but John, take it away. This is your game.
Her musical number.
Yes.
This is my game. it was interesting. Dude, I don't know who. I'd have to look up who the voice was. It sounded like, what's her name? Menzel. The person
Miriam?
Does.
Is it Miriam?
I think it starts with an A. I forget. But she does like Elsa and stuff. She's like a Broadway star. Her voice was incredible. I was like, wow, this is really good, which is, you know, you have to have someone really good for a game that's about singing. It's going to be interesting. I have to play it now because it's a John game. It's music.
Marine, here, everything is subtitled and everyone in the game speaks in sign language along with the singing.
I was telling these guys, maybe I'll learn sign language through this game.
Maybe.
That'd be cool.
It's on Game Pass, so.
Yeah, well, exactly. There, and there's no other, no reason not to check it out. So. Yeah. I love a good music game, man. Give me more Hi-Fi Rush. it'd be cool. I guess it's like a musical, though, right?
I mean, we'll find out.
That's what it sounded like. Sure. It sounded like musical style. Like the style of it is in musical, which I like. It's happy. It's catchy.
Yep.
I'm going to play it.
All right.
It's on the playlist.
Next one I have is Rise of the Ronin, which is a PlayStation exclusive. I wasn't super into this game. It looks very shinobi. It looks very, to me, it looks like a less inspired
Ghost of Tsushima. Yeah.
This
is the one we thought it was that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, this doesn't look good enough.
Yeah, correct.
for Ghosts 2.
Yeah. When I saw this, I thought, this is a game that the buy everything gamer will buy. You know, they walk into the store, they're not checking the IGNs, they're not checking the GameStop spots. They're like disconnected from the media, but they are very big gamers and they go into the store and they're like, what's the new hotness? What's new? Oh, Rise of the Ronin's out. I'm going to get it and see, and maybe play like a quarter of it because there's a ton of gamers out there like that. This doesn't really speak to me. Maybe it'll review well. I'm going to have to wait to see what it's all about.
Yeah, same boat. This is a wait and see game. If it gets a Mighty Man, it's going to get a play. That's all I'm going to say.
I agree. It's will I probably try it for 5 minutes?
Well, yeah, it's Tyler. And that's the difference between Tyler and I. Yeah.
All right, before I move on to the big big announcement, is there anything that I missed that you want to sneak in?
Oh, man. Are you done with your list?
No, I'm not done with my list. Okay. But the next
do you
one
have
is
the Sega
one.
Stuff?
The Sega stuff I do not have, but we can go over the six games.
Do we want to talk about the Sega stuff? Because I know a lot of I'm not a big Sega guy personally, but I know a lot of people were very excited for that.
Yeah.
Six remakes or remasters, I guess, of old classic. Now, what console was that from? Is it all the same era? Do you guys know, like Crazy Taxi and
Crazy Taxi was PlayStation and technically Dreamcast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you played that then?
Yeah.
Crazy Dreamcast guy.
I want to say because we were actually just talking about this. Me and the contractors were hanging out, just kind of chatting. And one of the questions came up on like, okay, like what dormant franchise would you want to try? I want to say I mentioned Crazy Taxi. I think I might be just forcing that into the void. I might not have said anything. Crazy Taxi is great. Crazy Taxi is very fun.
I think that's what, from what I heard, most people are excited for was that one.
Personally,
I saw the most passion behind it.
Mine would probably be the graffiti one that I don't know the name of. Jet Set Radio.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell how passionate I am because I don't know the name.
but Jet Set came out. Like, the thing with that is you've had games like that. Sorry.
Kind of.
It just came out. You keep going. I'll give you a perfect game.
I think I would want to relive Jet Set. I would want to see if I remember it as fondly as I do because, I talk about, you know, getting babysat. There was a lot of kids. And I remember watching the older kids play Jet Set Radio. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I never really played it myself. I played, here's the controller. I'd play it like these little small moments. However, Crazy Taxi, I remember playing a lot. I remember playing Power Stone on Dreamcast. I mean, that's not part of this list. But, I think they're... Oh.
I'm showing him a quick trailer.
Oh, what is this?
It's called Bomb Rush Cyberfunk.
Maybe I need to get
it. But it's like the same thing.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, Jet Set Radio is completely different, but I agree with you. But if it, like, it's one of those, if you want to scratch that itch, these type of games exist where I have yet to see something that is Crazy Taxi.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are excited about these six games. Was there a Sonic on there? Or no?
In the form of a little ring and jump.
There's like a
sound
side
effect.
There's a side scroller one. Was it Ninja one or something? I don't know. But
my only concern with these six is Sega's been out of the game for so long. Who is Sega making these? Are they developing these? Like, for me, Sega is almost gone. They're Pachinko, and I hope that this is an entry, like a reemergence. I hope that this generates money for them. Maybe if it does, they will make a new game. I don't know.
Gotta go with what works.
I mean, guess, you had the Sonic open world last year and stuff. So
it wasn't good.
We'll see.
All right. Yeah. Sorry, I wanted to mention that.
What else we got, Ty?
Hold on. Pull this up. Can't believe you didn't talk about Big Walk. Big Walk by the people that made the Goose game, the Untitled Goose game.
My bad.
House.
That was, I don't know what happened.
We were
there.
Dying, though. It was. We it were was watching funny. It, and it's this like photoreal world and like these just cartoon
poop guys.
Yeah, like penguin birds.
That's a streamer game. That's like a multiplayer streamer game.
That's coming out.
That'll be a game you have to stream.
I think Hellblade 2 still looks good, but I'm sick of seeing it. I mean, they announced that back in like 2018, 2019. Yeah. So it's like, just get it out. Like, and the problem that I have with this one too is, do I think that it's going to set the world on fire? No. Do I think it's going to be a very well-made game and very like unique in certain things like the last one? Probably. So it's like, Xbox needs to have something good, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. No Rest for the Wicked. Is that on your list? Did you?
It is. You know what? Okay. You go in order because I don't have the order correct. You take over.
Well, I mean, No Rest for the Wicked. People that made Ori, Samoon Studios, which I thought Xbox owned them, but I guess they just partnered with Microsoft Game Studios.
But this will be an Xbox exclusive.
Will it?
Yeah.
Because So maybe that I missed that part.
Yeah, it comes out March 1st. So soon.
Day one Game Pass, baby.
See here, more information. I think Wicked Inside Digital Showcase on March 1st. They said more will be shown. I don't know if it's coming out March 1st.
Oh, well, I'm pumped for this game either. Yeah, way. This was probably this might have been my announcement of the show. I'm kind of between a couple of games, but this looks awesome to me. But creators of Ori, I'm hoping it looks much darker than Ori, has a Diablo-esque combat system with it, what appears to be different builds or at least different weapon types. And it definitely has that medieval folklore narrative that's a little bit Witcher-esque. I'm all in on this game.
As long as it can be, like, tight like Ori. Like, as long as it can be, like, okay, like, because Ori had the perfect amount of, like, it was loose. Like, you could float and do different things, but it was, like, it was very tight and it felt really good to play. So
do you like the narrative in Ori? I never played it.
It's you never played Ori? No. Oh, my God. Gosh,
that's one you wanted to
that's
give
a,
me
that's
for my
a gap. Yeah, that's a gap.
I really liked how this looked, though. I kind of liked the whole King's Dead, everyone's vying for power dynamic. I like the political intrigue that entails.
Yeah,
but I don't know what the combat. You know me though; I'm narrative guy.
Ori's a very quick. Hey, you're gonna cry in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. I mean, that game's reviewed so well.
Ori was the first game that I got my hue lights on, set them all up, and then I started it, and my entire room is going and stop. It was, oh man, what a great experience. Casting a Frank Stone horror game by the people who made Dead by Daylight and Supermassive, like, cool.
They didn't really show us anything.
No, not a big horror guy as we telling Alan Wake. I assume you have OD on there, right?
Like yeah,
you're talking through that. Yeah. Fortnite Rocket Racing, sure. Tales of Kenzira, did you?
Mm-hmm.
You have that one? Okay. All right. We'll go to that. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage. Got that? By the people that did, or the Don't Nod Studios.
No. I just blanked.
No. It's a narrative. It's, yeah, that's fine.
I don't think.
I think we're more or less caught up. Are you going to talk about the No Man's Sky stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we're good. That's all I care about.
All right. This is probably going to be a little bit out of order, but that's the fine. Next thing yeah. that I have on my list is OD. And this is the next Kojima project. He brought out Jordan Peele and announced that they're kind of collaborating on this. The horror director of movies like...
Get Out.
Get Out. Us.
Don't Look Up.
The Alien one?
Yeah, what's that called?
Something like that.
No Way. I don't know. Uh-oh.
This thing is like Don't Look Up or something.
Don't Look Up is different. That's with Leo. Right?
Yeah, I know, but it was similar. Yeah, yeah.
Depending on how revolutionary and or slash scary this is, I would love to play it. But I had to play through PT with like two other people on the couch because PT scared me so much. But I thought the reveal was really interesting. It showed a couple of what I'm calling test subjects, and they're reading some dialogue that was really kind of goofy or a scattering of words. And to me, the most interesting part of this announcement for you guys, if you watch the trailer, there's a part where you can see a door open in the eyes of the female test subject, and she screams very violently, but then stops and just looks. So she has this super crazy reaction to whatever opened that door, but then it just cuts. The trailer doesn't cut, but her scream cuts and she just stops and stares. So I'm like, what justifies this horrifying scream, but then a silence? So there's a lot of stuff going on here that, and I had to watch it a couple of times, but this might be a game that I personally have to watch somebody else play because I'm so intrigued, but might not be able to get through it myself. But what do you guys think?
I mean, I was shocked when I saw Jordan Peele. That was like the last person I...
And they started making out. Dude, they were... that's all it was. Between Keeley, Kojima, and Peele, dude, they were like... I don't get crass, but they were like 2 seconds away from just going to town on each other on that stage.
Yeah, no. They
Translator
were
just standing there awkwardly.
Yeah. A lot of respect on that stage. I want some Kojima bullshit. I want it.
That's scary though. Like Alan Wake, you think is weird, dude. Kojima is
no,
just
I know.
Like another level.
I'm ready for it. Yeah. Everyone talks about like you know Metal Gear Solid, the heyday, which I missed.
It's like it I was missing on the stage that. Too. Like Konami was just not.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, I'm so curious. I don't even know. But they didn't show us anything, so it's hard to say. It was literally just like brand recognition. Like, here's the guy. Having Jordan there is going to be interesting. His movies are good. They're not my favorite, but I do respect them. I think they were well made, and they're creepy. I like that kind of horror better, where it's not like jump scary and stuff like that. It's more suspense and... something's off and there's creepiness, and that's what this seems like it's going to be.
I wonder if something got lost in translation, but they seem to be picking their words very carefully when they were talking about collaborating with Xbox and we're working on something. We like really doing some wild stuff, but we're working with Xbox. It's just like, it was like the words that they were choosing, and this could be just something lost in translation or whatever, but it was just like a weird...
Well, he's doing. Is he doing something else as well? Maybe that's why.
Well, he's doing PT or not PT. Death Stranding 2. So he's working on that, and then OD is the Xbox exclusive thing that Microsoft paid for.
Right. So it's like maybe this. He's like not super focused on this, and like Death Stranding 2 is like his baby. And
well, that's my other question. Is like, okay, if Jordan Peele is in here, like that's some. Those are some big dudes. And then he was saying, like, hey, we're collaborating with other people. So it's like,
yeah.
So, like, what percent, like, is this your story? Is this Jordan Peele's story? Like, what what's everyone bringing to the table?
Right.
Not because I care one way or the other, per se. Like, if Kojima was just gone and Jordan Peele's like, hey, I'm making a video game, here you go, I would probably be just excited. Like, I would be like, okay, cool, let's see what you got. But, like, it's a weird, like, is there enough room? Like, that's a lot of cooks in that kitchen, a lot of weird cooks in that kitchen. To come up with something, so
it's gonna be spicy.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good point, especially if you look at the imagery, right? So if you're watching Jordan Peele's horror movies, it is a lot of close-ups. It's a lot of emotion. You see a lot of eyes, a lot of face, a lot of gesturing, and that's exactly what we got out of this trailer. And I am excited about Jordan Peele's subliminal take on horror being mixed with Kojima. But yeah, to your point, how much of this is Kojima? What is he in charge of? And, you know, what does that collaboration look like? I am excited that Xbox is getting a win here. You know, I don't want Xbox to fail at all. I think the more wins for Xbox, the more wins for gamers overall. So I'm definitely glad that they're getting this. But I just hope I can play it. I don't think I'll be able to.
I'm with you. It freaks me out for that kind of stuff, especially if, like, let's see what type of game it is. So if it's more of like an action, like Resident Evil style game, which doesn't seem like it's going to be that.
No.
If it's more like PT, then I might have a problem.
Scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scary, Larry.
So the next game I have on our list is Tales of Kenzera. I think there's a word after that. I believe that's something.
Zao.
Yes. And this is probably the most Ori clone I've seen, and I hate to call it that. I'm sure there's more to it, but in terms of visuals and presentation, I saw copy and paste Ori abilities in the announcement. But the person presenting this did say it was a tribute to his late father, so I'm really interested to see how this character and this platformer corresponds to some type of emotional tie to, you know, his real-life father. Is this a John game?
I wasn't impressed by this one. He was talking and I was kind of getting hyped up for it. I liked the story. I like the guy himself. Seems really passionate. But then I saw it and it just seemed like other things. You know what I mean? Kind of like what you mentioned. It seemed like, I don't think this is going to do anything different.
I think it's going to be tough too, because you're coming out presumably right when Prince of Persia comes out.
Right.
So, like, sure. that's a
yeah.
big studio to go to. So either
maybe it'll be great. Maybe it'll surprise me.
Yeah.
I hope it does. I wouldn't classify it as a John game. This will be Tyler's going to tell me if I should play it or not, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. So
exactly.
I'll play it.
Yeah.
If this is a tight, say, 10-hour Game Pass experience, I'm for it.
But, oh, yeah.
It doesn't capture me right away just because of how similar to Ori it looks.
Sure.
If it feels good, I'm in. Mm-hmm. Like, I could be an Ori clone, but if it feels as good as Ori, I'll play it.
Mm-hmm. The next game is probably the most Jeff game that was shown for me. The first Berserker Kazan. And all I really noted was it looks like a promising cel-shaded Souls-like and has a very kind of, I thought it was a beefy protagonist, if you know what Berserk is, I guess that's the title of the game, but the manga Berserk, if you know who Guts is, he wields a giant sword. I thought there were some similarities between those two characters, but I'm excited for this. Looks like a lot of parrying, a lot of dodging, and I'm here for it.
Not even on this list. So I'm like, I don't remember that at all. All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it looked interesting.
But again,
it's like, can I play it? Probably not.
That's the thing that kills me.
Ugh.
Is like, I wish I could play all of these games because I want to
so
experience Lies of P. I want to do that. And I understand that there's like a, like, okay, well, you have to pay to play. You know, like you gotta, you know, get better type of thing. And it's just like, I don't know. That's not where I get my enjoyment from.
Yep.
So it's like, I wish there were abilities to go in and like experience this stuff because it looks cool as hell. Like a lot of that stuff is like, I would say there was at least three or four games being shown, which what you just said probably is one of them. I just don't remember the names. But it was like, man, that looks sick. Like, I would love to play that. Bet it's a Souls game. Bet I'm not going to play it.
Yeah.
But
I think this would be a great game for them to incorporate, like, the Final Fantasy 16 accessibility options where they just had things that happened automatically for you or... It depends on what the studio is going for. So I feel for all these players out there that don't feel like they can access the Souls games. I do wish that more people could play them, but, you know, I love them, so cool.
Jeff game.
The next one on our list is Marvel's Blade.
Mm. Yeah.
And one of the things that I noticed after going back and rewatching this is we missed a lot of the hints that were happening during the announcement. Like, I feel we should have known what this was before we saw the title, whenever the barber was nervous about the neck on his thumb.
Yeah.
We're like, man, like, we don't want him cutting our neck. Like, why is he so nervous? And we're like, oh, maybe because he's about to shave a vampire and he just cut himself and he's nervous from that. And then Blade says, don't be nervous, I don't bite, or something like that. I'm like, man, we should have, this is so obvious. Yeah, yeah. I'm pumped. I think, I hope it's not like Spider-Man. but, you know, what Nate did say that this is going to be M-rated. Super cool. Hopefully lots of vampire blood for me. I can't wait to see more.
Maybe it's because I've been doing a lot of season two of Diablo, but I'm like good on vampires and blood and that whole thing. Again, if it's good gameplay, I'm all in. Would I have rather seen what the heck they're doing with Wolverine? Absolutely. But like, cool. Like, there are Blade fans out there. Like, people are going to be excited for it, like yourself included. So it's like, good. Like, enjoy it.
Yeah, I think there's the potential to be really cool. I have high hopes. I think a lot of the superhero stuff has just been much better in terms of games. Like Guardians of the Galaxy was, you know, a good example of like that really did well. I know you guys don't love Spider-Man, but I still think it's good adaptation of Spider-Man.
You feel like Spider-Man, like yeah, the things that are Spider-Man.
Superhero
in that game,
games
I liked
used
a lot.
To be terrible, right? Yep. You have like Superman 64 or whatever, like you know, notoriously bad, like Green Lantern, the video game.
Yeah,
what, like, but I think like the quality is much better. I think they're doing a lot better of capturing the source material. And I go back to Guardians of the Galaxy because I think they really nailed that. They just the aesthetic of
Guardians
that game.
Was shocking how good that game was.
Right, so that gives me hope that like okay, Wolverine might be really good. And did they say Wolverine's gonna be the same universe as the Spider-Man games?
I don't know.
They didn't, but I would assume it would be.
Did it say Marvel's?
Yeah.
Blade, Marvel's Wolverine.
Oh, so Blade could theoretically.
The only thing is Insomniac's not making Blade.
Yeah, and so yeah, so Blade wouldn't be, but they are making Wolverine. Though, correct. Okay.
Oh, Insomniac is making Wolverine.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay.
So they might be in the same because we need more connected universes, obviously.
Yeah.
So
yeah. We're lacking in
we're
that.
We're lacking that. Yeah. But no, I think it could be cool.
Next on our list, we have The Last Sentinel, and this, for me, is pretty cool. This looks like cyborgs versus humans, where cyborgs are kind of more the, maybe, the good guys or the downtrodden, and the humans are trying to maybe extinct the cyborgs. I don't know, kind of like a Blade Runner-esque story, but reversed in terms of who's the good guys and who's the bad guys. Well, I guess... No, it'd be the same as Blade Runner.
It's same as Blade Runner, same as the District 99, same as the thing that's just coming out with that little kid that is like a robot that can like fix the world or whatever.
We didn't see any gameplay. At least
Detroit become human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The only thing of note, I mean, I'm up for this game. I don't know what it is. I don't know what type of gameplay it has. I did make a note though that it has the Akira slide on it. So for all the weebs out there, I needed to just say that anime still has a huge influence on modern media, and we're seeing the Akira slide from a movie that came out 20 years ago. So, how do you guys feel about The Last Sentinel?
This was the like Tokyo kind of. With
girl
the,
gets
with
her
the little
face
girl.
Smashed off. Yeah,
kind of cyberpunky vibes. A little bit.
Yeah.
They showed zero gameplay. I have no idea.
Yeah,
interesting concept.
The CGI trailer looked cool.
Yeah, no, it's tough, and that's you know we talk about this a lot. It's like
terrible name.
What was the name of it again?
The Last Sentinel.
It's generic, dude. Like Sentinel Arc.
Yeah.
Conduit, buzzwords. Like any, any of that kind of stuff.
The last ride,
just,
I don't know. I don't know. Like, I mean, there's something to be said about getting the concept of the game, but the gameplay is so vital. Like, what is this gonna feel like? Like, what is this gonna look like?
No clue.
And that's the problem. So, sure. I mean, I want to see more. I wasn't super excited about it, though. I guess it didn't. I wouldn't have put a star next to it. Did you put a star next to it?
Negative, Batman.
Okay, good. Not star worthy.
Not star worthy. Speaking of fantastic game names, titles, we have The First Descendant. To me, I viewed this as a multiplayer Horizon game. It showed a rather large robot-esque woman with a human kind of face. It's more of a mask. And people in suits fighting it? From what I remember correctly, or watched this morning,
I don't remember this one.
I'm going to try to find a picture because I do not remember.
This was a very short announcement, but I mean, and we'll talk about an announcement later.
This list.
Yeah, see where you're coming. I'm coming from. Like some of the lists are incomplete. There were so many announcements. But to me, I kind of feel for this announcement specifically because of an announcement that we'll talk towards the later part of the game. But yeah, it could be good. I hope it does well, as we hope all these games do well, right?
Yeah. I don't remember. I'm sorry. I don't remember that one.
I screwed up on the name of this next one. I have Light No Fire, but I don't think that's the correct.
That's right. Yep.
It is right? Okay. Mm-hmm. This looks like a multiplayer survival game in kind of a northern environment, kind of frosty, some dragons, some fire. Doesn't really hit for me. I think it's going to have a lot of competition in that space where it's demanding your time and for multiple people to be presumably online at the same time or building your settlement. I'm not sure. What do you guys think?
This is the No Man's Sky.
This is Hello Games. Yeah.
It was interesting. It was definitely interesting. Again, I'm like getting flashbacks to very ambitious statements and stuff where it's like, careful. Can you deliver, you know, what you're saying?
It was. And I liked how he kind of like threw a little shade. It was like, it's not like these video game mountains. This is a mountain. This is miles high.
Yes, but we heard a similar story when No Man's Sky was coming
100%.
Out. And we saw some very impressive things that were not there on release. So maybe they learned their lesson. I'm not a survival guy, but
I'm not either. So and like, I wonder, like,
this
how
would be
do
a tough
that.
Sell for me.
Here's the thing: No Man's Sky does a very good job with the crafting and the building and creating settlements and things like that. Because the whole point of No Man's Sky is like you're going to all these different billions of worlds. You can make bases on every single one, tie them all together, and then you're just hopping between all your different settlements and things like that.
Right.
So to take the procedural generated learnings and expertise and everything that they did for the entire universe and to just take all of that power and shove it on one planet of just like, all right, now here you go. Here is literally like Earth. Enjoy.
But I don't think this is cool. Procedurally generated though, right?
There has to be some level of it. I would bet.
But everyone's world is the same, I would assume.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying that it's procedurally generated every time. What I'm saying is create the different biomes, to create the different things. Okay. I wonder how much of that
it's handcrafted versus
like animals interacting with. I'm making all of this up, right? Like none. Like it was a very kind of like brief description of it.
Yeah,
but it excites me to think that instead of just going wide with all of their tech, they're focusing it on one planet that you could really kind of dive into.
That's the potential to be cool.
It looked neat. It didn't look, I think the biggest thing with that is it didn't look unique. So that could have easily been a Fortnite thing that we just, you know, it's like, oh, it's medieval Fortnite or whatever, or Game of Thrones is in Fortnite now. So that's my only hesitation. It looked very No Man's Sky, but also No Man without the space, and I like space. So it's weird because this is where like the rabbits are in there and stuff like that too, right? Like is that the same game?
Yeah.
So like, I know Nate was immediately like, "Oh, I like the high fantasy look and feel of it." Meanwhile, I'm like, I kind of wish it was like more cyberpunk, futuristic, or pirates. I go both ways, but we'll see. Like I don't know. Like I think the multiplayer is like, can you just do it with your friends, like you can with No Man's Sky.
I think this was a tug of war announcement for me. What got me immediately was the No Man's Sky guys are making this. And I was there for No Man's Sky. I wanted it to succeed so well. I was so excited for it. And then whenever it launched broken, I was heartbroken. To me, this is like the No Man's Sky 2. Can they deliver? And if the answer is yes, I want to try it out. I'm pumped for it. However, as soon as I saw those dragons, I was taken away. I don't want to be able to traverse the world like that. I hope that they reel that in. I hope that they make the world difficult to explore. I talk a lot about this in MMOs, where as soon as you get your flying mount or you're able to avoid all of the ground portion of an MMO, you're completely taken out of that world. It's just you're hitting your auto run, you're flying through the sky, you don't see anything, you don't encounter any enemies, and you just get to your location. I'm really worried about that, about, you know, this game, especially if it's supposed to be kind of like a multiplayer survival type of game or base building game. I would much rather just be stuck on ground and maybe get like a ground mount or something that helps you traverse the world in that way. But we'll see.
I think the only... I agree with you. I think that you do miss out on a lot of that stuff. I think if you make it beneficial to be on the ground, I think that's going to be like a balancing act. I think if you do some cool things in the air, so it's like, oh, you want to fly to whatever, you can do that. I know that obviously No Man's Sky is going to be a lot of comparisons, same people, same basic stuff. But like with No Man's Sky, like those are massive, massive plans. So like, and Starfield fell into the problem where it's like, this is wide open and there's nothing to do and this is boring as heck and I'm going to travel 5 minutes here and, oh, still nothing to do? Cool. Where with No Man's Sky, you hop into your starship and fly and like skim across the ground so you see something cool, you just stop and you go, you know, you jump in. So if it's a way to bridge the gap between cool things, I could see it. I would love to see some dragon combat or something cool like that and different stuff, so... I'll keep an open mind, but I agree with you. Like, the biggest thing is, does it run and work on day one? And I think that if it's somewhat bare-ish, like to the level of like when Sea of Thieves launched and stuff like that, I think naturally I'll be more forgiving because I know that they're going to, you know, put a dozen new things out in the next 10 years.
Right.
Cool.
Which I don't know if that's fair or not, but yeah.
Next on my list, I have Final Fantasy 16 DLC, and I don't remember the names of, there was two, I believe.
It's a roguelike now.
I'm not here for it. I'm kind of done with Final Fantasy 16, and I didn't enjoy the overall game. This is, I do think, required. I'm not going to spoil anything for Final 16, of course, not, no spoilers, but there is a little tidbit of the game that is missing, and it's obvious the game almost makes it known that it's missing. So part of this DLC, I think, is required, and we knew it was coming, but I'm probably not going to partake.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to. I will kind of
paid.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might wait and see. Like, if people are really liking it, maybe I'll try it. I loved my experience, so I'm like happy with how it ended and everything.
Yep.
And this is like before, they were very clear, this is before the final flight. It's not changing the story. It's just more context. So it's like, eh. But I think they have like the hard mode now. And I think that's like a really big, I think you specifically, Jeff, would have enjoyed your experience more if they had that from the start.
Oh, I agree. But I believe they did. I thought they did.
They had to beat
some...
the game before you could
unlock.
That's
right.
Yeah.
That's
and
right.
That was a big blunder on their part.
I agree.
Which is disappointing.
Yeah.
Because I think the combat's really... I really enjoy the combat in the game. I think you have a lot of options. I think I like... It's fluid. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'll see. If it gets rated highly, I might check it out.
All right. Report back.
I will.
Before we talk about the last announcement, I have a couple of fillers here that I missed. Windblown, which is a multiplayer game where you play, is it all rabbits? I just have my...
I don't know if it's all rabbits.
I just have gory rabbit folk, because I know it switched between like a cartoon style and then it switched to like a tunic style. So we saw a lot of cutscenes of rabbit folk massacring enemies, and then it went to this tunic style, and it was... seemingly like multiplayer, and you're kind of jumping around and dodging. It looks like a fun multiplayer game.
Yeah, we only saw a 3-player. Was that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did have.
So three. Interesting there. Yeah.
I'm a roguelite.
That. That's 100%
right
on my alley. Yeah. I don't know if it was a roguelite. Like,
well, we saw them like dying and stuff. And like, you have to like assume come back,
enough.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yes, that's true.
This seems like a fun weekend game with some friends to me.
Yeah, if it's on Game Pass or something like that, that's like
yeah, we'll
easy,
play it. Sure.
Yeah.
I have Metaphor Fantasio, which is, in my opinion, a Persona game, but with a different title. This is an Xbox exclusive that they grabbed by Atlus. Literally looks exactly like it's ripped from a Persona engine. I want to play this, personally.
Is it going to be better than Persona, though? It's like,
who knows? It could be a completely different story, but kind of with
I
the same.
Find that hard to believe.
Yeah, I mean, hey, like if it's good, it's good. If it whets your appetite until you know, six comes out.
For me, it's like, I don't know. I'd rather get Persona 6 or see. I'm hoping it's
if
different.
Persona
than
6 existed, but
I want a different experience though. If it's gonna be,
yeah,
I don't want it to be like, oh, this is Persona Light, which is what that's I'm afraid fair. Of, right?
Yeah.
To me,
maybe that's just the style. I'm just being biased because of how it looks, but
I think this was an Xbox, like, hey, look, we're doing something kind of announcement.
We did see this at the showcase, Xbox showcase, yeah.
We saw this, and we also, during the announcements in the pre-show, we saw Persona 3 Remake. So we did get a double dose of kind of Persona, but we didn't get Persona 6 announcement at the show, which I was bummed about. That was something I was really looking forward to. But I think for the Persona fans that want more Persona gameplay, this is right up their alley.
I'm really excited for the 3 remake.
Oh, so
which I know we knew about, but this is the first time we got to actually see what it's looking like, and it's like, it's Persona.
But like, nothing is like, hey, you need to buy this Xbox. Like, this is your game.
That's it's kind of niche-ish.
Like Starfield was it, and then it just
they
like,
blew it. No, I mean, that's Starfield was their chance.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. Anyway,
I wonder what Todd Howard's like thinking.
Did you see him at the awards, man?
Yeah.
He was.
He always looks like that, though. He could have won every single award and he'd still be stone faced.
I just mean in general. Like, he goes to the office and he's like.
He wasn't even like clapping, though, for when Larian won or something.
Yeah.
Maybe there was just like a picture, like, got super out of context.
Maybe, yeah.
Which is totally possible and probable, but.
You would have to know, right?
He he's sitting there like, you have to be embarrassed, right?
Yeah.
Starfield's up for best RPG, which no, right? Like, they're literally just throwing them a bone so that they can say something.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, has no business even being on that. And then you get no awards.
I mean, and then
not even nominated.
With Elder Scrolls being so far off, like,
what do you do? Yeah. Don't worry, you got a TV show coming out.
I think he retires.
He's really? Done.
I think you get Elder Scrolls 6. Because how old is he? Like, is he 50? Getting 50s? Yeah, like 50? He's getting up there.
He looks
like,
younger.
I think he looks good and healthy.
No. Right. But what I'm saying is, like, I'm sure
he's tired.
He has some money, but I'm also sure that it's like, dude, at some point, you can't. Like, this was supposed to be there. Like, let's break out of just the Fallout, you know, Elder Scrolls just rotation and stuff. They did the same like it didn't break out.
It was like we said a million. It was a dated game.
Yeah,
right. Like, if this came out 10 years ago, it would have been the craziest game ever.
Well, Bethesda did make Hi-Fi Rush, right? Am I high?
No, it was the people that did Evil Within. Those are the developers.
Oh,
that did that.
Yeah.
And he left. Yeah,
which is what a 180.
Yeah, Bethesda did Redfall.
I didn't want to go there.
Bethesda, yeah. I mean, we can
in shambles.
Oh, wait,
man.
Is Bethesda the Redfall?
Yeah,
because Arcane's under them.
Oh, wait,
oh,
that's
it's published
question.
By Bethesda.
Yeah.
Which again, it's so weird to be like, in Arcane's doing Blade, but I understand it's a different studio, but it's still under the name of the thing of like that you're just, doing a vampire game with the same developer.
They don't do vampires
they better,
as well.
Dude, they better hit that out of the park because that's
God.
Anyway,
yeah.
The last game I have on our list before the last announcement is kind of seeing Wukong again.
Mm.
You know, the League of Legends ripoff. No, but
is that a Souls-like? Is that like yeah? That's man.
I think
it looks really cool.
I think it is a little bit more actiony. I don't think it's a straight Souls, personally.
Like
from what
like
I've
a
seen,
Sekiro type of thing.
I think that this game is going to have accessibility options. I think you're going to be able to play through this game. It's not going to be too difficult. If you want the difficulty there, scale it up to hard. That's what I think. I could be completely wrong.
I don't know.
It looks stylish.
Sensing souls. A lot of them. It looks cool. I liked this better than the Berserk one. I thought this was more interesting to me. But I was confused because the other Wukong game came out this year.
I wish I remember what it was called.
Totally different.
Yeah.
Was it something Fallen? I swear it was like...
Was this game the Chinese studio that's doing this one? Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Gotcha. I mean,
which is insane that we're getting it. Well,
right. Yeah, notorious for like never coming out. Right?
I don't have an app. Never mind.
It should be interesting. Is this a star?
I don't have this starred, but that's this is close? Definitely a Jeff game. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Close to a star.
Yeah. Quick shout out to Stormgate too.
Not
Stormgate. Also,
I
talk about
hope it.
It
does well. I was saying this when we were watching the awards. RTSs need to make a comeback. It's such
RTSs are always well received. That's the thing. It's like Grey Goo, well received. Like the StarCraft stuff, well received. What was it? It's like a castle thing. I can't think of it now. But like
Total War was
Total War stuff.
Like Warhammer, but
I'm trying to think that like Enemy at the Gates. It's not that, but something like that.
Okay.
They're all well received. It's just it's such a small,
very niche.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, and it's such an important genre for gaming though.
Yeah.
That I just wish it would make. I'm not an RTS guy myself. I'm not good enough. But man, there's potential there. But maybe it's like someone needs to come in and like do something cool, like re-energize the scene.
I think it boils down to like it's a lot to keep. Like you're either good at your macro or you're good at your micro, and you can't.
But StarCraft took over the world, man, and it was like. It's an RTS. That's like an RTS where it's not easy, but I don't know. It's something you have to capture that magic somehow. I don't know how.
Yeah, and then Horse Armor comes out and it just makes more money.
Well,
like I don't blame people for like shifting focus developmentally and stuff like that, which is why it's like, okay, hey, these are like StarCraft devs. I would love to know how many. I would love to know like the background there because people tend to, these are from StarCraft. And it's like one dude, and he was like the environmentalist.
Oh yeah, we talk about that a lot.
So
they use the
So it's like cool. Like
I was a janitor for Blizzard.
So I want to see how that works, but
yeah,
I would like to play that because I would like an accessible one of those that like ramps up and does a good job that actually has something where like good leaderboards and stuff where you can play and like you could split the stuff where it's like one person focuses on resource gathering and stuff and the. You know, infrastructure, and the other person focuses on fighting. That'd be really cool.
Yep.
The last game that I have, one that we were I was probably the most excited for, was Monster Hunter Wilds. This is going to be the newest installment of the modern Monster Hunter games. I thought the trailer was very poor. I don't think it captured much of what I hope this game to be. I thought it was very muddy. It's very brown. I was looking at it and is this on Switch? Is this mobile? Is this
a mobile thing that they just pulled in like they did with the Switch? Yeah, I'm with you.
A little bit confused by the overall trailer. It highlighted a ground and flying mount that I assume is going to be a large part of the game. But overall, I do buy into the modern Monster Hunter games. Dwayne and I have a fantastic time playing them. Dwayne usually goes a little bit further than I do with them, but you know, this goes back to PlayStation 2 for me, getting the network adapter and playing, you know, some of my first online games. So yeah, I'm hyped for it. I just thought the trailer was pretty poor.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I'm not a Monster Hunter guy, but I was like, this is it. And then I was watching someone else like talk about it, and he was pulling up the old trailer of their last game, which was crazy.
World,
Monster Hunter World, where like there was all these big boss fights they were showing in the trailer, and it was epic, and those were like actually in the game too, like it was not misleading, it was dead on. And this one's like totally, I don't know, I think that's a good point, just very disappointing. This was their big announcement though. They say this was the last thing of the show before the winner, which was interesting. I know the Monster Hunter is pretty popular, which you were talking about.
So Japan probably plays two games. It plays Monster Hunter and it plays
PUBG.
That's China.
It plays Dragon Quest and it plays Monster Hunter. Those are probably the two games that Japan plays the most. This is Capcom's biggest cash cow. It makes the most money off of the Monster Hunter franchise. Capcom's a huge developer of Resident Evil, developer of Street Fighter. So for Monster Hunter to come out and make the most money over those titles, it's saying something. And I'm actually, now that I'm even talking about it, I'm scratching my head. I'm like, is this for mobile? Like, is this for the Switch? Like, this was for, announced for modern consoles. Like, I'm not losing my mind.
You wouldn't end the show with a mobile game.
I'm like kind of questioning myself right now, but
scheduled for Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 5, and PC in 2025.
Wow.
There needs to be another trailer.
I mean, like, even the screenshot, like the title card where they bring it in, is just here's a desert.
Yeah.
It's like,
you know, we don't even see any of the iconic monsters. We don't see Diablo. We don't see Raz. We just don't see any of the things that would get people hyped for a next gen Monster Hunter.
I was hyped for the traversal. I like the idea of that. But the problem is, if you're putting that in the game to traverse because everything's so large and you have to do it that way because otherwise it's going to be like a boring running around thing, then that could also be a boring.
Yeah, Worlds was a lot about elevation, right? They wanted to incorporate a lot of elevation into Monster Hunter, which traditionally isn't there. This is going to sell gangbusters. They just need to show something a little bit more
robust.
Get
people excited, yeah.
Yep.
That's the show. There's the show, yeah. A lot of...
I feel like we missed a lot of anime.
I was going to mention, yeah, there's, speaking of Japan, so much anime.
Yeah.
That's where the money is, bro.
Yeah.
Honkai Star Rail is printing money right now.
Yeah, good for them.
People love that.
I'm really
Genshin
sad.
Impact.
Really sad we didn't see Vampire the Masquerade 2. I'm really sad we didn't see Project Eve. Really sad we didn't see Ghost of Tsushima 2. I'm really sad we didn't see Persona 6, but there's always next year.
I want Gears. That was
well,
my big
deal. A lot of these, you know, people, they do their own shows now. So like a Microsoft might just...
Microsoft announced their console. Their next-gen new console going up against the PlayStation 5 at the Game Awards.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like, that should be something.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, we didn't talk
was
about that.
Was it the Game Awards or was it the E3 Keeley Awards or whatever?
E3.
But regardless, it wasn't like a Microsoft show.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, you have to think from their perspective, okay, we're going to have our own showcase. We need to save good stuff.
I guess, but Microsoft went out and said, it's going to be big. And then it's like, okay, like waiting.
Game Awards.
Like, Microsoft has Halo and Forza and Gears. And
Forza was not.
And Halo. And
I heard Halo's actually in a pretty good spot right now. I'd be curious to go back and try.
Yeah, I play
Forge
it.
Forge is really cool.
They just put Firefight out.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be interested. Halo didn't do bad. But again,
it was messy. It was sloppy. Yeah. Like Microsoft, if nothing else, it sums that up where like they might kind of get there, but they're sloppy going in,
man. You didn't have Forge mode. You didn't have co-op campaign when it comes out. It's like it's not done. The game's not done.
Yep.
That's frustrating.
I don't know if Keeley like kind of, you know, messed with the messaging, but... overall, if I am looking at the show, Xbox, in terms of exclusivity, did have OD, the Kojima Project. It had No Rest for the Wicked. It had Metaphor Fantasio, which is the Persona-like. And it had... No Rest for the Wicked, Metaphor... Oh, and Senua's Saga.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad showing. It wasn't highlighted.
I think the thing that maybe... And maybe it's just a perception thing, but did Xbox have their logo on the screen? Did I just miss it completely? Like PlayStation, like when it's a PlayStation trailer, that is a blue screen with the PlayStation logo, and that starts it. And you're just like, oh, okay.
And the sound effect, right?
Yeah. Even if it's not exclusive to them, they're showing it. It's theirs. Here's why you buy a PlayStation. Xbox needs a green, because I think black is too... nebulous. Like you need a green freaking screen with the Xbox logo and you hit them pound for pound.
Yeah.
Like, yes, like all those are there, but like, I couldn't, like, you just list them off.
Right.
I couldn't tell you, you know? So it's just like, that's the kind of thing that I think they need to do better at, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know if it was like a Keeley trying not to highlight exclusivity during the show and they're just trying to celebrate the games. I have absolutely no clue. Because even the one, I think they only showed one PlayStation exclusive, and that was the Ronin.
Whichever one I was like, come on, Gears, and then the PlayStation logo pops up. I'm like, damn it.
But even that, like, I don't, think that was super highlighted as a PlayStation exclusive. Who knows? It could be any of those factors, but Xbox has the logo. They have the green. I think, to your point, they can do a little bit better job using it and getting people hyped for the console. I think Xbox does have a little bit of a mixed messaging thing where it's like Game Pass on PC, Game Pass on Xbox, you have Xbox, PC. I'm just saying 10 years from now, I wouldn't be surprised if Xbox was just Game Pass. And we have Game Pass on PlayStation. We have Game Pass on Switch. Oh, wow. That's my personal take.
I'm worried about, like, because last year it was like, okay, Xbox, it's an off year. But, like, man, they are setting themselves up for stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, like, they fumbled so many things this year. And then it's just like, okay, but, like, there still is a lot of good stuff. Like, a lot of things are, like, you haven't seen Gears. You haven't seen Halo. Like, there are some things that could, like, hear these tentpole, like, this is it.
Yeah. They need a savior.
I don't know.
Badly.
I don't know what it is.
Well, and I think you guys may have talked about this on a previous podcast, but Xbox within the Microsoft business level is like 5% of their total business, right? At the end of,
meanwhile, Sony, it's like
Sony, it's closer to 50 to 60% of Sony's overall business. So there is a little bit of a buffer there where sometimes Phil Spencer probably doesn't even talk during their executive meetings. You know what I mean? They're like,
sure.
It might just be like a one slider. Like, this is where we're at. You know what I mean?
Here's how we're mitigating the damage.
Go back to your closet. Yeah.
So I do think Xbox, like, I would love to know what or how they view their Xbox product, because it is such a small part of their income and, you know, Windows and software is pretty much.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you're not going to hear from Bethesda for like 2026, 2027. Yeah. They're just going to go dark. And it's just like, man, like what do you do? Like, what do you do to keep, like, putting things out there? And I think there are so many great games on Game Pass, but it's not the Spider-Man, Gears of, like, you can literally rattle off the things that came out within the year where it's like Horizon, Spider-Man, Gears of War, it's just like, or God of War, and it's just like, what does Xbox have to compete with that? They don't. I don't know. Anyway,
Ghost of Tsushima, yeah. Final Fantasy,
right?
Yeah, I do think Game Pass has a place in gaming, especially I was talking to a buddy and he was like, man, I really want to play Lies of P, but I don't want to spend like the $60, $70. Guess what? Showed up on Game Pass, paid $9.99, got to play it. I'm like, that's awesome. You got to play Lies of P. Phenomenal game.
Both Remnants. Hours and hours of content.
And Hi-Fi Rush. I'm playing Hi-Fi Rush on Game Pass. And
Call of Duty's coming.
I just don't know.
I played Sea of Stars this year on Game Pass.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have checked it out if it wasn't on Game Pass, right. And I'm really glad it was.
So the identity of Xbox is confusing to me, and that's why I say I could see a future where Xbox is just Xbox Game Pass, similar to Steam.
Gamefly.
Where you launch it on PlayStation. Like, it's a subscription on PlayStation. You get access to,
I hope not.
I hope not either.
The game world's better when Xbox is at the top of its game.
I don't know what the benefit of that would be, because if they're not publishing their own games, like, if they're not putting games out, then there is no need for them in the marketplace.
Right.
That's the thing that scares me.
Yeah.
Because if you have, like, Game Pass, so what? Right. Like, I know, like, EA is already kind of doing it-ish, mm-hmm. but, like,
theirs is so
EA
terrible,
publishes those games. Right. So unless Microsoft focuses entirely on publishing things and that's just all they're doing and you can only get Microsoft catalog on there, so, like, your Bethesda's and your Activision.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. We'll see.
It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. A lot of Game Award talk.
Yep.
But we have our own.
I forgot that we had.
Why not a little bit more?
We have our own Game Awards.
We can keep
up.
It somewhat quick on this stuff. It doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
Fly through the categories, see what we want to cut, expand upon, getting ready for next week.
Yep. So we're going to have our Couch Company Game Awards Season 2. Very, very excited. We're going to have Jeff again. I love having Jeff on. He comes with his notebook. great insights. So we're going to be going over our categories then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. You got
I
the
should
list,
have
Jeff.
Them on my yeah, list, but Jeff already has Jeff it printed out, ready to go.
He's ready to go. Did you want to? How do we want to structure this? Just go
I can
down?
Go bottom just, to top.
Yeah, that's fine too. I mean, we're just flying through them. See, yep. See, like, okay, are we all happy? Like, do we want to keep this? Do we want to tweak mm-hmm. what goes into it? If we're confused on what type of game we want to put in there, we can elaborate.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's get started. I only had one tweak, but we'll get to it whenever we get to it.
Okay.
Starting off at the bottom, we're getting the best game that I bounced off of, or you personally bounced off of. So I'm assuming this is something that should be recognized for its achievement. However, it might not have hit home for you.
I think hit home for me, ran out of time, didn't. All like it was just like, hey, I recognize this as being good. But like either it's not my type of, because like I played more sim, like between horror games and sim games this year, like those are not my things. But I've done city builders, I think I've done three now, that I'm like, man, these are crazy and they're awesome, but like I don't think I can like get into it.
Yeah, this is gonna be a tough category for me, because like I said, I usually finish games, so I'll have to rack my brain, see if there's anything. But I like it. I think especially for you guys that you try a lot of things, it's a good good nod to something.
And I think it's worth noting too, like if you don't have something for a category, don't just be like, I didn't have anything for this one. Like,
yeah,
not
I might,
deal.
I might
matter.
Be blank on that. We'll have to see though.
And it's before we continue with all the categories, we as a collective will be naming our personal top 10 games of the year, and then off of that creating a Couch Company top 5 list. So in addition to these categories, we're gonna have like personals and a Couch Co top 5. So the next one is best game I suck at.
Yeah.
Which I think is hilarious.
Yeah.
Pretty self explanatory.
Sim games, Lies of P.
Bad at a lot of games. This will be a funny one.
Yeah. I'm not saying I'm good at every game, but I do think I have something for this. I'm excited for that category. We have best world design and or environment.
This gets a little weird because it's like, are we trying to think of, and maybe we just leave it broad because everyone's just bringing their own thing. It's not like we have to fight on like which one's best, but it could be just like, you know, is it, oh, that's a really good looking forest, Alan Wake, versus like, holy cow, Hi-Fi Rush has this whole like realized world, or Spider-Man's really good for Metropolis. So it's like, who's best in that area of like, it really hit you. And that's an environment. The alternative could be, John, you mentioned universe, where it's like, you just like when we say world, or what was the thing? It was world or environment?
It says design or environment. Best world design or environment.
Yeah. So that's very like kind of like visual, physical type of thing. It could be more, we could open it up to be like, oh, the cyberpunk universe, how they're representing it is really cool. Or the way that they're representing like Hi-Fi Rush or something like that could be kind of neat too.
We could have a separate like best lore something.
That could be cool.
In that vein, you know what I mean? Because I think you can separate those off.
Sure.
I interpreted this one as like design, you know, like it says, the design of the world, the physical kind of, not necessarily graphically, but like artistically.
Okay.
Like this is interesting, and that's how I'm taking it. Like this was an interesting world. This was, I liked being in this world. It was cool. Okay. Yeah.
The next category, I am personally most excited to hear your guys's pick, but it is game that keeps me up at night.
Yes.
Yeah,
pretty self-explanatory. I think it's a fun category.
Yeah, I kind of,
how do you interpret that?
I interpret it as I'm actually not going to bed and I'm playing this game.
Okay. So
that's how I interpret it.
which is completely fine, and that's actually good. So maybe that's like we shift to that and try to figure something out. We were taking it as something along the lines of like, you played the game and then you like finish the game or whatever, but then you're just like, you keep thinking about that game, or you're laying in bed and you're just like, okay, I'm still thinking about this game.
Is this another one where we split, where like maybe one of them is game I couldn't put down versus game that keeps me awake at night?
Yeah, I don't want to like keep splitting and like having a ton of categories. So like if we want to say like game I couldn't put down or game that just kept
like going, we can just interpret it how we want.
Yeah. I think that one's fine.
All right.
Now this one I actually have my own questions on, but the category is best surprise.
So I think that is for just everything. So like hey, guess what? Hi-Fi Rush dropped, and it's free, and it's on Game Pass, and it's right now. And no one knew it was in development. Yeah. It's just like stuff like that, I think, is really cool. Or I could see that. Or a surprise is like, I'll try something and surprise that I liked it. Or tried something and surprised I hated it. Or, you know, something like that. It's just like, what caught you off guard this year?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, John, you can...
No, I agree with that.
Next, we have Best Boomerang Game. So something you kept coming back to.
Can't wait to hear if World of Warcraft or League of Legends hits you this time.
This is tough for me because, like, I play a game and then finish it and that's it. Except for, like, League. So, yeah. I got to think about that. There might be something, but,
do we want to change this to what's your top game that you put the most hours into this year?
Ooh.
We could. That would be easy for me.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I feel like that would be just like...
Not League, though. I wouldn't count League in that, like a new game that...
Yeah, we're talking about games that came out
this
year.
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay. That's fine, too. Yeah.
Well, League would always win every year for me.
No, right. But I think that that's so gross. That's worth noting, right? Like, it's just like, okay, it's 2023. What's the game that you put the most time into? Oh, League
of
Legends.
Most hours / ongoing game?
Best ongoing game, Cyberpunk 2077.
However you guys want to handle it.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
Worst game of the year.
Yes.
Tyler was hesitant on this. I think it's important. I think it's important to recognize who is trash.
I'm a softie.
Yeah.
I'm
the softie.
I want to be clear that it's not worst developer of the year. Because every like making games is hard, and I don't want to be like, but like there are games that just were not good. Like they made like it was
they're
like
broken.
Questionable choices and different things like that. So if we want to corporify the worst game of the year, we can. But I think that's
I'm heartless. But
in the same vein, we have most disappointing. So these are there is a
different
very big difference here.
Yeah. I think self-explanatory. Yeah.
Okay. Best Game Pass game. # sponsored. # not sponsored.
I would like to open that for, well, I can't do that because League of Legends is on Game Pass. So you're going to just
pick
that.
Yes.
All right. So I guess we have to keep that to 2023.
Yeah. Probably.
That's fine.
This next one.
It could be like, I don't know. I know where your thought process is going.
The what?
Like, you know, other games have released on Game Pass that aren't from this year, but those are like big releases on Game Pass. Like you were mentioning.
That's my thing. That's like it comes to Game Pass in 2023.
I think we can do that.
Well, then, okay, but League of Legends came.
I'm not going to put League of Legends on there. Okay. I promise.
Maybe in parentheses.
Are we just discounting
League
for.
Like, well, I won't do it for that one because it's like I was playing League before a game. Like Game Pass changed nothing for me for League of Legends.
That's fair. Right? Maybe we do something like best game. That like we wouldn't have played otherwise or something like that. Like your Sea of Stars, it's just like, oh, hey, this is something that
okay.
Because you had access to.
Right. Yeah.
This one I need you guys to help me with. Best game to play while eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew. Again, a sponsored category.
This was a good one. This was a category we had last year because we didn't know where to put Call of Duty. And this is going to be hilarious because Call of Duty is not going to win this.
So that's wide open.
It's wide open.
Okay.
Interpret it how you'd like.
You could be very literal. So it could be like, all right, you're eating Doritos and you're drinking Mountain Dew. And like that, to me, that's like you're up all night, you're doing this. So it's
I actually,
similar.
Thinking about that, I think I know what my vote's going to be.
I have a couple thoughts.
Yeah.
it's a jokey category.
Best developer.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Best style, I think also makes sense, but.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And we're talking visuals.
Yes.
And yeah. Like Persona is a very good example of that.
Right.
Best multiplayer. Best UI or worst UI. So what are we doing here?
So I know I'm bitching about UIs more than I'm praising UIs. So yeah. I think we can pick one. Or both. Okay.
I'd love you to do both because I want to hear your perspective.
Sure. And I already have both.
I'm always hearing this UI sucks.
Tyler.
Like, yeah. Please give me a good UI.
Like if, which you want, UI doesn't if you suck. Want Call of Duty Modern Warfare to get a spot in one of these.
Get a spot. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to have one for this. I don't know enough, so we'll see.
Best streamable game.
And again, that's more on your end.
Okay. Most anticipated game of 2024, which I think is actually a pretty cool category, especially based off of some of the announcements we got. And it's definitely changed since like even a month ago. So.
Yeah. And it helps that you're not relegated to five options.
Right.
Like it's like, here's everything that we know of.
Right.
And then, now I would say, do we want to just say most anticipated game? Does it have to be 2024 or do you want to say like, do you want to, cause I know some of this stuff was announced
if
for
it's
2025.
Announced, yeah, we can do that.
Or do we want to keep it to 2024 and try to keep it like
yearly or
yeah. Let's do 2024.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point because next year, if we have the same category, it might be the same game, yeah. Right? Yeah, no, let's keep it to 2024. I like that.
Best gameplay or gameplay loop?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep.
Best story?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Best moment or sequence or best feeling? So I'm assuming we have to keep this kind of spoiler-free, but maybe list...
I
like
think it's impossible.
Chapter 3 of this.
So here's the thing all with right. This one.
Oof. This is going to be a tough one.
This is gonna be tough. I think we'll do what we did last year, because I'm pretty sure we did this last year.
Yeah.
Where it's like, look, I'll put chapter markers in. I will do my due diligence. It's always a pain when it's like a 3 or 4 hour yeah. long episode, but we'll put the chapter markers in and we'll be like, look, spoiler warning, if you're going to get hit with this, like, okay, like jump to this or whatever. And I'll be as diligent as I can with that. As far as spoilers for ourselves, it's going to be one of those, like, if you guys are never going to play this game, then it's like, mm-hmm. okay, hey, because there are a couple things where I need you to understand why this moment's cool. Cause if I just tell you the moment, it's gonna be like, okay, like fine.
Yeah.
But the build up and the like, dude, yeah. there are several that are really cool.
Can we maybe move this award to like the last award that
yeah,
we talk
sure.
about?
Sure.
That's just so that it makes it easier for the listeners. They can
yeah.
hear our game of the year and then we move.
Oh, you're talking about after game of the year. Yeah, yeah.
I personally, yeah,
that's fine.
It make it easier.
Sure.
Or even.
I think that's great because you can,
but then.
Or the end of the show. Like,
let's do it after. Like, that's interesting to do it after game of the year because it's like, hey, out of everything, because like the games are cool, this is all cool. Mm-hmm. But then at the very end, it's like, this is what got us the biggest smiles and yeah. hair on our arms standing up. And like, this is what we really, really yeah. loved about games in 2023. Yeah. I like that.
This is my favorite category.
Mine
I have.
Too. Yeah.
This is a good one.
I have like 10 moments. I have like a top 10. yeah, that's going to be.
Most innovative experience. And I kind of have a feeling I know who's going to win this, but maybe not. Most innovative experience. I think this is.
This is like pushing the genre, creating a new genre. Like this yeah. is your like Vampire Survivors of last year. You know, just yeah. something like this just came out of nowhere and like, unique. Oh wow, this is good. Yeah,
We have a couple of John categories, maybe a little bit of Tyler categories. Best music and best sound design. So those are two separate ones. We have best music, best sound design.
Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, similar to Game Awards. Yeah.
Yep.
Best voice performance. So best VO, got it. Best character. I love this category personally. Yeah.
So I wanted to separate them.
Yeah, you were smart.
We had a conversation. So how do you feel about that? Where it's like, I feel like a performance can be, and there's a lot of overlap, of course, right? Because they're voicing the character. But I think like you can have a very well-written character, but another person maybe had a better performance.
Absolutely.
Or do you think it's the same thing?
I think the voice performance can help to make a character, but I don't think a character really helps a voice performance. So I think you can have a character that is your best character, but it might not be your best. You can recognize a voice actor for their outstanding performance.
That's what I was thinking too.
And then we have best game of the year.
That's it.
Game of the year, baby.
Goaty.
So we're going to, just to kind of recap to you, we're all bringing in our winners for all the different categories. We're picking one winner. I put a little note in there. It's like, bring as many honorable mentions as you want because we want to make sure everyone's shining here. Like, we want to make sure, like, everyone gets it through, but we'll fly through them. And then we'll all bring our top 10 games of the year, so we kind of know where that stacks up. And then out of those top 10s, we will do an ordered top 5 official Couch Coming Game of the Year.
Yeah.
Nice.
Big episode. I think that's next Saturday.
It's gonna be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm okay. Nervous, but should be good talk.
You always get nervous. You do great, man.
These are. There's a lot to think about, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of, I would even say, research, especially whenever you go into trying to pick your favorites of the year. There's a lot of recency bias. You kind of have to go back and even watch trailers. You have to watch, maybe even load up an old game. You have to kind of make notes of, oh yeah, I did play that, or something like, I know that I'm going to miss Fire Emblem Engage, and like, I just have to recognize that. Like, oh, and also Resident Evil 4 came out this year, even though it was at the beginning of the year, and right, all that stuff. So yeah, it's a lot of thinking.
Agreed.
But good thinking. Fun exercises.
Good. Yeah. Good. Good thinking. I love some good thinking. All right. Here it is. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up from anyone?
Thanks for doing a almost 5 hours. Is it 4 hours? It was 4 hours. What was the other one? We ended two something.
Yeah. Okay.
So thanks for doing a 4-hour podcast with us, Jeff.
Yeah, flew by.
The whole day.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. Thanks for coming on, as always. Tell the people once again where they can find you at.
Thank you for having me. My name is What Killed Jeff. You can find me on Twitter at that title, and you can find me at Twitch over at twitch.tv/whatkilledjeff. Stream Monday through Friday, somewhere between the hours of 1 and 6 p.m. So that's why you have to drop the follow. You get 2 free emotes you can use anywhere on Twitch, and they're pretty cool ones too.
100%.
Sweet.
I love tuning in during work, seeing what shenanigans Jeff's getting up to. He's doing Hi-Fi Rush right now, which is
doing
a ton
of fun.
Rush,
and as John said, it's slow. Fast.
It was hilarious.
It is.
I wish I clipped that. It was so funny. Watching Jeff beat a boss is a magical experience. So I definitely recommend it to all the listeners. But for everyone still listening, as always, truly appreciate it making this far. A lot of discussion, but again, it's one of those times of year I love just talking about. There's so much potential in the air for announcements, and just an awesome reflection on an incredible year in games. I mean, this, we were talking about one of the strongest years we can remember. So I think stay tuned for next week. It's going to be a really cool show. We, put a lot of work in this year to make sure we're hitting as many games as we can and being thoughtful about just being prepared to discuss. We picked the right year to do it, I think.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great show. Check us out, couchcomedy.games. You can see our ratings on there. Tyler redid the whole board there. It looks really nice. It has our emblems on it and the numbers and our rating system and everything like that. Shout out to Tyler, and we're gonna be here same time, same place next week. Thanks for joining us on the couch.